The legislative session has come to a close with a look at some of the major items lawmakers addressed. Is ULM political science professor Dr. Joshua Stockley. Josh, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me, Bob.
Legislators passed a budget for the fiscal year starting July 1st. Some are pleased to get it done. Others are fearful, Josh, saying that the state's rainy day fund could be hurt down the road should future revenue numbers come in below expectations. In trying to lessen the blow of the deficit, does the deal signal relief or regret?
It signals absolute relief. I mean, we're looking not even at a mid-year shortfall. We're looking at an end of the year shortfall of a couple hundred million dollars. Going back to August of 2008, we keep hitting December shortfalls, June shortfalls, December shortfalls, June shortfalls. We've done this every 6 months since August of 2008. If that is not the definition of a rainy day, I don't know what is. I mean, you can only keep cutting into state services before at some point you are going to hit very vital arteries. You're going to hit the very lifeblood of our correctional facilities, of our healthcare facilities, and of our higher education facilities.
Was tapping into that rainy day fund the only real course of action to reach a budget agreement with the impending end of the session when a final version was pulled together?
Well, there were two parts to the discussion. The first with the rainy day fund, that helps us for the current fiscal year. The budget discussion is actually a second discussion, because if we don't tap into the rainy day fund, what happens is the governor and the Division of Administration now issue across the board cuts to all state agencies. Well, what's painful about that is here we are at the top of June, the fiscal year closes at the end of June, effectively giving agencies 30 days to find $300 million in savings. I don't know any state, including probably California, that can suddenly discover $300 million of savings in 30 days. I mean, agencies have planned and they've audited and they've based decisions on a certain figure. So the rainy day fund was one discussion. The budget then is our next fiscal year, beginning July 1. What are we looking at in terms of revenue? What are agencies going to be able to do next year? So we've made two fiscal year decisions, and both very wise fiscal year decisions.
A new pension plan was passed in the past week or so that gives Governor Jindal a win in his bid to revamp state retirement, creates a cheaper investment account similar to a 401k for employees hired after July 1st next year. Now, with this new system, will future candidates be more inclined to seek opportunities out of state where retirement packages may be more competitive?
I think the passage of the pension reforms makes Louisiana likely a little less attractive in hiring employees. We had a pretty good pension system, a very competitive system based on, you know, allowing an individual to retire at 65 and using the last 3 years of their salary, using that as the base for their retirement salary, their monthly income. Now what we've done is we've siphoned some of that to this private account. While private accounts are very popular among conservative circles, even those who argue for the privatization and for those private accounts acknowledge that right now markets have been very difficult to make those accounts robust enough for that to be a sole retirement option. So there are a lot of individuals that are very hesitant about moving into areas where their entire retirement income is going to be in some sort of market fund, super account, whatever you want to call it. They're all the same basis. Louisiana, I think, becomes just a little less competitive. However, again, this is the problem. Our pension fund was really good. Perhaps it was too good to begin with. We know it was very good because so many people opted into it, producing a down-the-road unfunded liability. Louisiana is going to have to approach the discussion eventually about how are we going to fund this retirement.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk recently about the bill to reduce voting hours, with polls opening an hour later on Saturday elections. In an age of two close-to-call races, and unless we forget, House District 17 just decided by three votes earlier this year, is shortening hours a practical decision?
Shortening hours financially is something to consider. as long as we look at, well, where are those hours shortened? When I first heard about, you know, we're going to shorten our voting hours, you know, I got very defensive, a little bit nervous, because some workers need every hour they can get to get to the polls, because most people work 8 to 5. You have to consider a commuting schedule. But the hours are being shortened from 6 in the morning of the polls opening to 7 in the morning. And as I think about that, I don't think that morning adjustment is going to be a critical or a huge adjustment. Remember, the shortening of the hours is going to only apply to state elections, not federal elections. State elections always occur on Saturdays. For most individuals, Saturday is a non-working, non-commuting day. I suspect that this shortening in the morning is going to have a very, 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 very negligible effect. It probably was a wise budgetary decision. I don't see any cause for concern.
Finally, Josh, many would consider it to be mixed results for the Jindal administration as far as what was passed and what failed in this legislative session. If there were an issue that Jindal would most likely go after next year and try to push forward, what would that be?
Well, I think what we're going to see next year is he fell a little short in the privatization discussion, specifically in two areas, the prisons and the healthcare and the hospitals. If there's any agenda that's kind of left, the agenda dealing with prisons and correctional facilities, how do we provide that service at a cheaper rate? Can I convince enough legislators next year to sign on to that privatization idea? And then we still have that healthcare problem. Healthcare is more expensive. Governments providing healthcare is very expensive. We still use a charity hospital system. We still use funding formulas and models that are several decades old. There is undoubtedly a more efficient way to do it. We've just got to figure out how. That may not necessarily be privatization, but that's something you can bring into the privatization argument. So I really think that's probably the one part of his legacy that's left to develop. In fairness, he probably couldn't do much because Louisiana, like every state right now, is waiting for the Supreme Court to tell us, is the Affordable Health Care Act, is that legal? Is it constitutional or is it unconstitutional? If it is unconstitutional, what aspects, what part? So everybody's kind of in a holding pattern on that. We've got to wait for the Supreme Court. I suspect once the Supreme Court makes a decision, if I had to guess what's going to be Bobby Jindal's next big push, it's probably going to be in the area of health care in the next legislative session.
Dr. Joshua Stockley, Josh, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Bob.